And welcome to another Nerds Amalgamated episode. I'm the DJ, and with me today I have Buck and the Professor.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you two gents?
I'm pretty good. Tired. I don't even have uni. How do you guys do it?
What are you talking about?
Well, I've been picking on you guys for being all stressed out over your exams for the past 3 weeks, and now it's my turn to be completely worn out.
The exams are only just hitting now. Like, all the past few weeks has been assignments.
Oh, well,
So
I
it's
still
still
don't want to swap places with you.
ongoing.
Now he wants to swap places when he when every week he's been bragging about how the full-time life was such a
No,
good thing.
I said I still don't want to swap because you guys have exams to go.
Well, I don't because I'm in my master's, but yeah. So why are you so worn out and tired there, Professor?
I don't know. I think what's happening is that someone's mind controlling me in the middle of the night when I'm supposed to be sleeping to get up out of bed and go and perform dastardly deeds and then putting me back before I wake up.
So many things I could be saying there, and I know I'd be in trouble for all of them.
Okay, just don't blame me if I fall asleep in the middle of recording tonight.
No, we'll just make fun of you. We'll have the audio version of you looking like a mumble rapper.
No, I'm no mumble rapper. I snore like industrial machinery.
Well, there you go. We won't even need to do anything. We can just sit there and put a soundtrack of you snoring to people starting up heavy industrial machines.
The best alarm clock idea I ever heard of. Actually, no, not alarm clock. Best ASMR track. The professor snoring like
Trust
heavy
me, it's
machinery.
really not.
And the best alarm clock I've ever come across is a fire station.
With
But it just
the trucks going out, sirens on.
yeah, it's not just that, it's also at when they open the doors and everything, because yeah, I actually moved into a place and was literally just up the road and up the hill from the fire station. And first night we moved in, they had a fire or something going, and yeah, they had the bell inside the station go off, and then the trucks start up and the doors fly open, and the trucks come out with their lights and sirens going. That wakes anyone up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I bet it would.
Anyways, gents, let's get the show on the road. Bucky, you've got the first story.
Hold on, hold on. We've got a shout out there. Who is the podcast about sleep? One Third of Life. So that's the first square of our bingo.
Well, hang on. Now, what's Zane has his one as well, where he reads for insomniacs.
Is it unfeatured articles?
I think so. If we're gonna talk about sleep deprivation and stuff like that, then yeah, it's a good one for you. He reads it in his soothed, calming voice, so that
And it
you
is
just
very calming.
see. You just want to just relax and take the time and fall asleep.
I think Zane has the idea of making it into an ASMR.
You
He can
see,
make.
you seem to love all these acronyms.
But you've never heard of ASMR before?
I have, but can you tell me what ASMR stands for?
Autosensory, something relaxation, if my memory serves me right.
Okay.
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Wasn't even close.
I think that was an FAIL.
Well, I was right about the auto sensory. If you take out the
No.
anonymous, the autonomous.
Nah. But you're in a different galaxy, far, far away.
Hey, 2 out of 4 is not bad, okay? 2 out of 4 is not bad.
Did you get that many? I don't think so.
I did.
We'll
I
leave it
got
to the listeners to decide. We'll start a
the.
poll. All those who think that the DJ stuffed that up, let us know.
Anyway, so Bucky, you've got the first story.
I do. This year, we're actually celebrating 50 years of the Apollo missions. And NASA is doing a massive, massive thing. Like, the exhibit in South Bank at the moment is part of the overall celebration program. But they've also got special TV programs, all sorts of things. So, yeah, all the space cadets who are completely addicted to the idea of being an astronaut, like the professor, We've got a couple of links there. There's actually one with National Geographic, which has got a lot of stories, such as capturing the space race, so looking at all the different photos, as we set sail, return to the moon, which is a program that's on the works. And then there's also Women of Apollo, looking at all the amazing ladies who have been involved in the Apollo missions, some of whom we've mentioned over the various episodes.
Surely they mention our idol, Margaret Hamilton.
I'm pretty sure she was in there. I had a quick look at it because I've also got the NASA website up, which has got so much extra information about various events that they've got going on. In the National Geographic, their first line is, "Countless women were vital to launching the era of manned spaceflight. And for half a century, these hidden figures have been overlooked for their role in the space age." So they got Barbara Crawford Johnson, the woman who pointed NASA's path to the moon, Katherine Johnson. Yeah, they've got a lot of stuff here. So,
you first.
I was just going to say, they've actually got like so many events. It's actually like there's stuff in Paris, it's all around the globe. There's things happening. So it doesn't matter where you are, there's something nearby that's related to the Apollo missions.
So does that mean we get to see reruns of the movie The Dish?
You can watch it whenever you like. No one's going to stop you.
Oh, I know, but they'll be saying like we'll be showing the movie The Dish as well.
I haven't seen it in amongst any of the lists, but it's always definitely a good movie to watch. After all, who doesn't love a bunch of Australian larrikins playing cricket inside the Parkes radio telescope dish?
And messing up and trying to work out how to fix it before their boss finds out.
Mm-hmm.
But in all seriousness, though, which Apollo missions you reckon takes the cake as the best Apollo mission? The most remembered Apollo mission, I mean.
Well, what do you mean remembered? Like, there's different ones to remember for different things.
Well, like, as in land breaking, record breaking, and something that made history kind of things. Like Apollo 11, for example, that was historic in terms of the Neil Armstrong and his one step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah. Then you got, was it Apollo 13 that there's some scientists think that they've actually tracked it recently?
No, that was Apollo 13 is the one that got messed up and had to come back because the oxygen blew up.
That's right.
The I think it was Apollo 8 that we were talking about the other day. They found the Snoopy lunar module that was jettisoned into space after the test flight, and some amateur astronomers reckon they've managed to track it down.
Because it's like you got 50 years of history, because there's still stuff happening with some of the Apollo missions where the technology from that has gone over into the space shuttle. And there's just, yeah, like it's built such a massive platform that flows into everything else that saying one particular point, like as you said, like Apollo 11 landed on the moon, but all the previous Apollo missions had so much that it was building up slowly in a constant level. We'll ask the biggest, I guess you call him an Apollophile here. Professor, give us a rundown on Apollo 1 to Apollo 11 on the stages.
Okay. What they achieved. Now, it's been a while since I've actually thought about this, but Apollo 11 is obviously the most famous for being one to land on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Apollo 13 had to turn around and come home. Apollo 17 was the final Apollo mission. And before they landed on the moon, Apollo 1 caught fire on the launch pad and killed the three astronauts on board. Apollo 10 had a failure with the toilet system and had a piece of poo floating around the cockpit. I think Apollo 8 was the first one to fly to the moon with a full lunar module.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I can remember off the top of my head.
Notice the DJ laughs at the poo floating around.
The crew members did as well, and they were arguing over whose it was and who had to clean it up.
Yeah, it's not like being in the car where you can just open the window to sure fly out.
Although, the celebrations aside, though, you know what's going to be annoying, though? with the celebrations going on. You're going to see a lot of conspiracy theorists now coming up saying, oh, the moon landing is fake. And they'll still whinge and whine about it.
Yeah, but that's all been disproved so many times. And in all fairness, it'd be nice to have all the all those guys coming up with something different to talk about. Just cause I'm getting sick and tired of them talking about flat earth theory. I confused one of them because he was going on about the flat earth theory and I said, no, the earth's shaped like a donut. And so that's the reason why we have donuts, because it's actually a celebration and it has to be made on the inside edge of the curve of the donut through the hole. By the time I left talking to him, he actually started to believe me.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Not really, it was me talking to him.
No, the part about him buying all the stuff that you just said.
But he was dumb enough to already think that the earth was flat. He also believed vaccines cause autism. He's one of those people that if you give him a conspiracy and you make it sound moderately plausible, he then snaps together all the rest of the bits and pieces to make it work. To the extent I actually saw someone destroying someone who was a anti-vax conspiracy nut who literally was rolling off all the conspiracies when they went to the doctor for their child's checkup. And the young student doctor who was doing all the initial inspection of the child went back to his resident and told him what had happened, and he gave him a wink. He goes, we'll fix this. Went in, was talking about it, and the mother refused the inoculations and vaccinations. And the doctor just said, well, but what if it doesn't actually cause autism? What if that's all actually a conspiracy from Russia to weaken our society by leaving us open to all these diseases? Apparently you could actually hear the lady's mind break trying to work out which was the more plausible theory. In the end, she actually got all the vaccinations.
I'm going to pretend I never heard that and try to maintain some hope in humanity.
Hey, at the end of the day, what is this? The T-shirt that I saw floating around the other week, what does the EKG of flat earthers have in common with anti-vaxxers?
They're both flat, aren't they?
Yep.
But so with the Apollo missions, do you reckon we'll ever see some sort of Apollo-type mission for Mars?
They're already planning sending a mission to Mars. And it's going to be a multi-stage, though, because they're going to have to live there.
Yeah, I did remember once there was a company that wanted to take a few people and say, we'll take you to Mars and you'll be living there forever and never coming back to Earth.
Yeah, Mars One.
There was a draw. There's people that have put their hands up for it.
Mars One went bankrupt not too long ago, though.
Yeah, so like the idea of like all the, because when you think of all the requirements of sending a mission to Mars, landing on the surface, and then taking off to fly back, it's not like sending a mission to the moon. Like the gravity on Mars is a lot heavier than it is on the moon.
But it's still also not heavy enough to prevent bone loss. And after, even if it was after 3 months in space, you start to see some serious bone loss issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's why when astronauts come back from the ISS, you always see them sitting in, they always keep them sitting down and carry them everywhere for the first little while after they get back to Earth, because their bodies aren't adapted for gravity.
Yeah, because even though they have them doing resistance exercises and everything to try and maintain muscle mass and bone density, there's nothing to make it happen. And what's flight time estimated to Mars? It's a couple of years, isn't it?
I think the closest is about 3 months.
Is it 3 months? I wasn't too sure because I thought it was I haven't been following it that closely. So yeah,
it depends on the time of year that you launch and how close you are to Mars to begin with. But I'm pretty sure the closest approach is about 3 months.
You mean from Earth to Mars, fellas?
Well, unless you're going to be able to fly from somewhere else.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, you have 3 months to get to Mars, then like 2.5 years before you can get a 3 month flight back.
That might have been what it was. Actually, flight time from Earth to Mars is between 150 to 300 days, so roughly 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, same here.
Well, actually, no, it's just under 12 months, so 5 to 10 months.
Well, you know what was amazing with all the Apollo programs, though, was that after the, what was the whole promise of, okay, after the Apollo programs, we can establish cities in the moon and we'll be living in space and stuff. And then years later, you realize that was just a pipe dream.
Well, they're still talking about building a base on the moon because interstellar travel is going to be able to happen from there rather than on the surface because of the reduction in gravity. So it's actually part of the planned mission to Mars. One of the concepts is actually building a base on the moon and launching a spaceship from there, because the amount of fuel required and everything like that would be so much more reduced that it would be able to make it much more economical.
Yeah.
So yeah, there will be bases on the moon eventually, I'm pretty sure. Probably not on the surface. It'd be more likely to be buried under the surface, but yeah.
Got to get that radiation shielding in somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so all the sci-fi movies with their glass domes and stuff, that's great until you get hit by a meteorite.
And not all meteorites are huge. There's tiny little meteorites as well.
Anyways, so moving along. Professor, you've got stories about E3 this year.
Yeah, I wasn't able to keep up with it as much as I have in the past years because I'm working full-time now. But I've been keeping an eye on the recaps. And even though it's a bit of a slow year for E3 because we're at the end of a console generation, there's some pretty interesting stuff that's just been announced. My key takeaway is Breath of the Wild 2, and the low point is Fallout Battle Royale.
Oh, yes. I think everybody hated that when they... I saw a bit of the Bethesda press conference and everyone was just not impressed. No one was clapping.
People were clapping at Bethesda. They had their people that were paid to sit in the first couple of rows and be all excited and carry on about everything constantly.
Yeah, that was the problem. Like the
and everyone else was just wanting to throw stuff at them.
Yeah, Todd Howard, the CEO of Bethesda, was trying to mitigate Fallout 76 by saying, "Oh, thank you guys for making this game so possible." I'm going, "No, you didn't."
You know what I don't understand? If they'd pushed it back by a year and released it now with the content that they've just announced for the Nuclear Winter update, then I think the backlash would have been a hell of a lot less than it was releasing it as bare bones as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with No Man's Sky a couple of years ago. It's become a fairly decent game, but everybody's got that first impression in their head from the absolutely abysmal launch. Don't get why AAA companies are releasing unfinished games like this and then 2 years down the track, the game's finally worth buying.
One word, greed.
Yep.
Mm.
Like the Hoff's got to be able to buy his new old style leather jackets and pay for that hairstyle. Like, I'm sorry, but the guy has got to stop trying to emulate Hasselhoff. I didn't see this year's one, but it was so terrible last year. I couldn't go there.
My biggest takeaway.
I was going to say, what did you think of Devolver this year?
Oh, that was fun.
I haven't seen them yet. I'm planning on going back to them when I get a chance.
The movie continues. That's all I'm going to say. And I like it from what I saw when the Devolver conference, it was they were poking fun at Nintendo's Nintendo Direct's conference, which I thought that was was creative and funny.
I like the One thing I did catch with Devolver, because I saw a little bit of the video online, they've gone for a RoboCop-esque sort of theme to the movie now.
And I see if Devolver spun off a a studio to make dumb, low-budget movie things like that. I'd be cool with that. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. They have perfected the art of taking the piss out of the morons.
The people who take E3 too seriously.
just people who take themselves too seriously.
Microsoft did well this year as well, did well with their line of games, like, for example, Cyberpunk 2077, with the massive reveal of Keanu Reeves and that how he's going to be featured in the game, not as a cameo appearance, but in the game
full time. Yeah, he's going to be a full-on companion character.
Mm-hmm.
And how he entered into the press conference and there were so many people giving him standing ovations, and one person in the crowd was saying, you're breathtaking, and Keanu replied, you're breathtaking, and oh, that was amazing, just watching Keanu on the stage. It was pretty beautiful to watch.
Did Keanu promise them $100,000 each if they cheered?
No. He doesn't have to, because he is pretty cool. But going back to Devolver for a moment, have you heard about the game Fall Guys?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I missed that one.
See, when I first saw the name, I thought, are they paying out on Bethesda with Fallout? Good. There's Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout.
Oh, did you see their bootleg games pack?
No, not yet.
They released a set of mini games based on other games that they've made, with like in the style of cheap Chinese knockoffs.
I've actually just found it now. Shoot, they got Shooty Boots and Ape Out Junior, Luff Trousers. hang on, Piku Biku. Doesn't sound like anything in particular, does it?
No, I think it's a pun on Yeah, Piku Niku with a C is one of their games, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking more like Pikachu. Piku Biku.
Oh, yeah.
And then they got Absolver Fighting Championship and Cat Sylvania.
Oh, that's brilliant. I like that
it's for sale for 1% off.
Yeah. Like, these guys just make E3 so much more fun.
Mm-hmm. What were the Nintendo, like I said, like you said earlier, Nintendo had an interesting press conference with more Smash Brothers reveals.
Goodness me.
Yep, the hero from Dragon Quest and Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, is that all?
And a bunch of other stuff, like Breath of the Wild 2, a bunch of games that they've got coming out on that platform. Apparently they're getting a full release of The Witcher 3. And Alien Isolation.
Okay. See, I'm actually starting to feel sleepy now just mentioning Nintendo and E3. That was a horrible, horrible experience.
But yeah, the E3 this year was just lackluster, to be honest. Like, nothing special happened. Like, besides Keanu Reeves entering into the spotlight, and there was another big moment that happened where. On the Microsoft, was it Microsoft? No, another press conference. Don't know which game, forgot which game company it was, but one of the game developers, she her name was Ikumi something. She introduced a game called Ghostwire, and my god, the people were like, oh, she's so cute, and they drew, there's so much fan art of her.
Yep, I did see that, and she was pretty cool.
Is this the girl doing the weird dance?
It was the whole thing. It's just she'll say genuine.
Yeah, I saw someone took screen captures of her and arranged it into the Lost comic based on her arm movements.
But man, the Ghostwire game looks very interesting, though.
What's it about?
It's basically people that disappeared all over Japan, and it's made by the same guys who did Bayonetta and The Evil Within, so it'd be kind of like a horror-style game, horror-thriller game. The downside is it's made by the guys from its publisher is Bethesda, so...
Yeah, well, Bethesda doesn't always do bad things, mostly when they're a publisher of other people's things.
Yeah, that's But other than that, man, I think we've been droning on about how E3 is just becoming boring. I think the interesting thing is how with Bethesda, by the way, they've been introducing a lot of mobile games. Bethesda's been emphasizing on mobile games more.
That's where the money is.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny how people on the internet reacted to it by saying, like, mobile games are not real games.
Yeah, that's selling out. Selling out the true experiences of gamers like me.
suck it up, princess.
All right.
There's plenty of other gamers out there that play on mobile platforms. So you always say PC Master Race, and the DJ's just, who knows.
I'm a PC and a console man. That's all I'm going to say.
So if I checked on your mobile phone, there wouldn't be any games?
No. You won't see it.
I won't see it because you got them hidden?
No, you won't see them because I don't play them.
Uh-huh. I suppose, yeah, you probably don't have time in amongst all the watching the YouTube videos.
Netflix also had an interesting introduction as well to E3 with their the Dark Crystal game.
Yeah, more Netflix choose your own adventure things would be cool.
I mean, looking at the gameplay trailer, it kind of pays homage to all the Final Fantasy style games with the turn based and the moving a certain distance. Which was also the other cool reveal on this E3, the new Final Fantasy remake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for the Mana game remakes.
I did see your post where you were all excited in chat there the other day. Yesterday, was it?
Yeah, just last night as I was going to the gym, I saw an offhand comment on Reddit and got very excited.
Ladies and gentlemen, he was so excited. He was like a 13-year-old boy locked in an adult shop.
Your metaphors are disturbing.
What, you weren't that excited?
No, just the metaphor was disturbing.
Oh, God.
I try.
So, with the recent E3, you reckon we'll ever see... You reckon E3 is going to... Next year's E3 is just going to be a dud show again? I mean...
Nah, next year they're going to have all of the console announced.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they basically leaked every while before the show, but next year they've got their console announcements, launch title. There's no reason for it to be as slow as this year.
And there'll be more stuff that they haven't leaked already. That like they've got most like a lot of the major leaks that always happen, but there'll be something special that they'll have on the actual E3 conference as part of the launch.
Which console release are you looking forward to the most? The Xbox or the PS?
The Switch too.
Oh, there's a Switch one also coming out.
Yeah, there's rumors about it, and I reckon they're highly likely to announce a new one around that time because it'll be 4 years since the Switch came out, so it's about the length of a generation. It'll give them a chance to iron out some of the issues they've been having. It turns out the Switch is insecure by default. There's no way they can stop people cracking it. So they'll probably want to put out a Generation 2 or a bigger Switch, whatever they do, using a more modern chip that doesn't have the vulnerability.
Yeah.
So if they put out a bigger Switch, is it going to be like you see those big, massive light switches on the wall?
Wasn't that funny, DJ?
It will be massive. I will give you that, Bucky. It will be massive. Oh, by the way, Professor, the Switch came out in 2017. So that's not long ago.
Yeah, it's newer than I thought.
Yeah. Epic Game Store has been... The other interesting thing with E3, I've also forgot to mention, was how Epic Game Store has been spooking up a couple of times at E3. Saying that some of the big games will be coming on Epic Game Store this year and not many games will be coming on E3.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes in the next year. Something's got to give.
Yeah, it's a matter of time before Epic Game Store does something crazy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And speaking of crazy, I've got a story for you guys about Netflix and their new venture.
I thought you were going to talk about yourself.
I'm not as crazy as Netflix, though, but thanks for the thank you.
You're welcome.
So Netflix has decided to buy The Division, the game, and are going to make a movie out of it, starring Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal. And it will be directed by David Leitch, whose credits include Deadpool 2 and Hobbs and Shaw.
Well, I can't wait for this to be awful. That's a very
You said something, Professor?
I said I can't wait for this to be awful.
Oh, I know, man. The plot goes like this. The story is set in the near future with a pandemic virus spread via paper money on Black Friday, decimating the city of New York and killing millions. By Christmas, what's left of society has descended into chaos.
Hey, hey.
A group of citizens trained... Yeah?
We can read the article too.
Oh, no, this is... Okay, my mistake. So it's basically a survival movie, as always.
But, well, it's not necessarily going to be bad. Like, yeah, we kind of have this predilection because of the fact that there's been so many movies that have gone bad. But isn't... I have to check. Is The Division based on a series of books?
No, I think it's one of these new Tom Clancy properties that are Tom Clancy in name only.
Ah, okay.
Which, to be fair, is most things, because he had a lot of Ghost Riders.
Yeah, because he had, like, the Rainbow Six games were actually based, like, they were a spin-off from his books.
Yeah.
So.
Same for Splinter Cell, I think. Did it have a book?
Splinter Cell was, I don't remember a book, but I think it was based loosely on some of the character traits that he for John Clark and some of the bits and pieces with that.
That might be what I'm thinking.
They made some novels based on the games, so yeah, it wasn't really
what
I meant Splinter Cell. Sorry,
Splinter Cell. They may have put some books out afterwards, but the initial character design was all based around John Clark from the whole Jack Ryan series.
What do you reckon, guys? The whole games... I know we had this conversation before about games to movies and their vast improvements. You reckon this might be it? Like,
well, this is a game with a storyline, so there's actually a story to follow.
Yeah, but the story is just basically this typical... Oh, yeah, it's a zombie apocalypse-style scenario with just a group of people, and we're trying to survive. That's
but
it.
It's not
a
zombie apocalypse.
I meant zombie apocalypse-style.
No,
yeah. Well, it's the same
disease.
Story.
Once they're dead, they stay dead. And then there's all this weird government sleeper agent stuff.
Oh, hang on. Did we just catch you out on not actually knowing the story of the game?
No. All I'm saying is, though, it's the same old storyline as we saw in the... Like, what were the other series? Like, there was that series where the entire continent of America lost power, and they're trying to figure out, not the continent of America, the entire world lost power, and the world's trying to figure out how to live without power.
So the word of someone with a vocabulary would be apocalypse. Apocalypse.
there was the one where you're talking about where North America loses power was Dark Angel.
There was another one called Revolution, I think.
And then there's Mad Max, which is also post-apocalyptic.
There we go. Yeah, it was Revolution. About power black. That's the one. Power blackout.
But this is different to a power blackout.
True, but it's the same formula, though, in terms of something catastrophic happens to the world, and people are trying to survive after the post-cataclysmic event, and we get to see it, and it's a journey.
It's something that people are interested in. And you're not going to be getting sued for saying it's this person or that person. Like back in the Cold War, we always had the Russians and so forth as enemies. We can't say that anymore because we're not allowed to call them enemies.
Yeah. But what do you reckon about the casting, though, in terms of Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain playing in this movie? I reckon Jake Gyllenhaal might pull it off.
I don't know if we've seen anything bad with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jarhead wasn't bad, but it was very slow and very trippy.
The last video game movie.
And I haven't watched Brokeback Mountain yet either, so.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, didn't Brokeback Mountain get an award of some sort?
Yeah, but that doesn't really mean anything these days.
Yeah.
They have some awards that are just like participation and turn up things. That's almost getting there.
He was in Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. That was a good video game adaptation movie.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you actually follow the history of the game, that actually goes back to a scrolling platform.
Good time.
Back, I think I was 13 when that first came out. Many, many, many moons ago.
Back when you were a little wee lad.
I wouldn't say little wee lad because, I was already 6 foot tall. Okay, so, did you guys watch Nightcrawler?
No, but I hear a lot of good things about his acting in that.
Yeah, because that was one. It's people get polarized by that, but yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
The last Gyllenhaal movie I saw was Zodiac, a movie about the Zodiac Killer, and that was good.
Mm-hmm.
You guys seen it?
No, I haven't, but I've heard about it as well.
Oh, here we go. Apparently he was also in City Slickers in 1991. That was his screen debut, acting as a child.
So, yeah, we should watch this soon when it comes out. Oh, and by the way, Jessica Chastain, if you haven't heard that name before, she was in movies such as Zero Dark Thirty and The Help, and she was also in The Martian as well.
Wasn't she also in, was it Lawless?
Don't think so. Look.
Yes, she was.
Okay. Stand corrected.
That's a fun movie to watch. Apparently based on a true story.
So, guys, so can't wait. So, you guys going to be watching this movie or just give it a miss?
I'll see what the reviews say.
I may end up watching it, but yeah, that's just more out of curiosity. The biggest selling point for a movie for me these days is if Rotten Tomatoes gives it a bad rep, I reckon it's going to be great.
It's like Rotten Tomatoes works on reverse psychology. Like if the audience hates it, the audience hates it, that means the critics love it.
I don't know. Like just Rotten Tomatoes are paid out on so many movies that have been absolutely brilliant.
That's true. That's true. Anyways, guys, moving along. Games currently playing. So, Buck, what have you been playing?
I've been playing... You stuffed up.
Indeed, I think I did. Which one was it this time?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Just the first one?
No, Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh, okay, my mistake.
Fix your show notes, mate.
what a sort of amateur hour is this? You ask us what... You ask me what I'm playing... The other day, I tell you, crying out loud. What a slacker. You know, he just never listens to me, folks. He just doesn't care.
Oh, I don't care.
He just doesn't care enough to listen and be concerned.
Oh, so Assassin's Creed 2, eh? That's a pretty step back from the everyday game of Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yeah, but it's going back to the roots. Like, I was looking at Assassin's Creed 1, but I'm not sure if I could get it on my system because it was saying it's limited to Windows XP. So I'm not sure if it'll run on Windows 7 or anything else like that. So I have to do a bit more homework. But Assassin's Creed 2 was there. It was on special. It was only $5.
Wow, so pretty cheap.
Get to go back and run around as Ezio and start the whole Ezio saga off. And that's fun.
All right, Professor, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Cataclysm still. I really haven't had time to get into anything else lately. And this week's survivor story. Uh-oh. I went out of the shelter. I found a dog I wanted to pat, and the dog ate me.
Oh. Good dog. Good boy.
I probably made it sick.
What is it with you and dogs, Professor? What is it with you and dogs?
Oh, I got along with the dog I saw today. It liked me so much, as soon as I had to drag it off me. Kept jumping up on me and trying to lick me.
All right. Well, as long as it was only licking.
Yep.
Have you seen that video on YouTube and Facebook where a guy is doing something on his computer and he's got a French bulldog, starts licking his cheek. So he turns around and goes to lick it, and it pulls away and is really nervous and puts its paw up to push him away.
Oh, man, that's a very interesting relationship there. Oh, man. I've been playing Apex Legends. I was hoping that we might get some new updates for the game, and with EA's E3 announcement, nothing's coming up lately, but yeah, it's been quiet on the Western Front. They've added in some new stuff like Epic Access, new skins, limited edition skins, and that's all about that. That's about it so far.
Sounds exciting.
I know.
I've given you guys a Reddit link to the pug. Wasn't a bulldog, sorry.
Oh, pugs are cute. They're really cute.
They also literally cannot breathe.
Anyways, so on to the shout-outs. So on the 8th of January, 8th of June 2019, Ashley Barty wins the French Open. Congratulations. I know Buck is going to be like, give me slack for this. He's going to give me flack for this.
I'm not.
Also, they keep saying.
Just keep talking. It makes it funny.
So congratulations, Ashley. It's an amazing achievement winning the French Open.
And I'm pretty sure she's from Ipswich too, isn't she?
Yeah. Her win puts Ipswich on the map.
Yeah, it's already on the map. The big red "do not go here" on it.
it hasn't had anything else to put it on the map in the last 100 and something years.
Although
Queensland's 160 years old now, so yeah, there's nothing else happening at 160 years to put Ipswich on the map.
What's interesting though for me was how she credited her time playing cricket to her success, and I'm wondering, can you imagine all these potential athletes and maybe current athletes now saying, I'm going to take a break from tennis and I'm going to play a different sport for the time being just to get a break. Like maybe see Roger Federer playing pro golf or Nick Kyrgios playing soccer.
It worked for Michael Jordan, and that totally wasn't a cover-up to hide his gambling addiction.
Mm. And then there was also, who was the Australian motorcycle rider that went into Super V8s?
Will Power?
No, before him. He was the world champion for it. I think it was before Mick Doohan, although Mick Doohan did it as well for a little bit.
Is it Tanner? I know it's Tanner or someone.
No. I'll look it up and I'll get back to you.
Marcus Ambrose, that's the one.
No.
Wasn't it?
No, just keep going. I'll look it up and get back to you.
Okay. So we've also 11th of June 1955, the 1955 Le Mans disaster occurred during the 24-hour of Le Mans motor race at Circuit de la Sarthe in Le Mans, France, on 11th of June 1955. A major crash caused large fragments of debris to fly into the crowd, killing 83 spectators, and French driver Pierre Boulion, who raced under the name Pierre Levege, and injuring nearly 180 more. It was the most catastrophic race in motorsport history, and it prompted Mercedes-Benz to retire from motor racing until 1989. Man, that was a very, very scary crash to watch.
Like, yeah, it would have been even worse being in the crowd there.
Oh, man.
Hundreds of kilos of magnesium flung at you.
On the 11th of June 1963, Buddhist monk Quang Duc publicly burns himself to death in a plea for President Ngo Dinh Diem to show charity and compassion to all religions. Oh, man. Those people that burn themselves on public places, they're traumatic to watch as well.
The motorcycle champion I was trying to think of is Wade Gardner back in the early 90s.
What was his name again?
Wayne Gardner.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, good.
I actually met this guy too. He's pretty cool.
So on to our remembrances. The 11th of June, 1979, John Wayne, nicknamed Duke, was an American actor, filmmaker, and Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient.
Hang on. No, it's the Duke, not Duke.
Okay. The Duke.
Yeah, you got to have the.
I swear, well, Duke. Okay. The Duke. He was among the top box office draws for three decades. He starred in 142 motion pictures altogether. According to one biographer, John Wayne personified for millions the nation's frontier heritage. 83 of his movies were westerns, and in them he played cowboys, cavalrymen, and unconquerable loners extracted from the Republic's central creation myth. He appeared with many important Hollywood stars of his era and made his last public appearance at the Academy Awards ceremony on April 9th, 1979. He died of stomach cancer at 72 in Los Angeles, California.
Here's a question for you. You're saying extracted from Republic central creation myth. Do you know what Republic they're referring to there?
The Midwest, I'm assuming?
No. It was a studio like Paramount and so forth. I can't remember who it was that brought them up at the moment, but yeah, it was Republic Studios. So that's how many John Wayne movies I've watched. I actually didn't even know that.
Do you have a list of like all 83 John Wayne West, a pen to take them off and watch them?
Probably haven't got a list written down, but I probably have watched most of them.
Like, he was one of the many few. Like, you got Charlton Heston. He played a lot of Western movies as well.
No. John Wayne is at a whole different level, because John Wayne goes back before Charlton Heston. John Wayne was actually in silent movies, was when he started his career. There was a movie, Blue Streak or something it was, or something like that. I can't remember. Blue Steel might be. I'd actually have to look it up. But yeah, like, this one of his very first movies I've ever saw, like, that I've ever seen of his, was this really, really old black and white. Pretty sure it was a silent movie off the top of my head.
So on the 11th of June, 1999, D. Forest Kelly, known to colleagues as D, was an American actor, screenwriter, poet, and singer known for his roles in Westerns and as Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy of the USS Enterprise in the television and film series Star Trek. He died of stomach cancer at 79 in Woodford Hills, Los Angeles, California. Was it like Los Angeles is like the place where everyone goes to die? Like, everyone's dead in Los Angeles, California.
Should we teach them about statistics and per capita?
Okay, DJ, most of the people you talk about when we say the remembrances are movie stars who have died. Where's the biggest place for movie stars globally?
Hollywood.
So, given that there's probably a higher per capita ratio of movie stars in, and they say Hollywood, but it's, they just say Hollywood for the whole area. Like, it's not just. You got people that they say died in Hollywood that were in three different counties away from Hollywood. But yeah, you got a majority of movie stars there. So therefore, when they die, they died in Hollywood. So not everyone's going there to die. Just, that's just where they end up.
So on the 12th of June, 2003, Gregory Peck was an American actor. He was one of the most popular film stars of the 1940s to 1960s. Peck received 5 Academy Awards for Best Actor nominations and won once for his performance as Atticus Finch in the 1962 drama film To Kill a Mockingbird. Peck also received Oscar nominations for his roles in The Keys to the Kingdom, The Yearling, Gentleman's Agreement, and 12 O'Clock High. Other notable films that he appeared in include Moby Dick, which was in the 1956 and its 1998 miniseries, The Guns of Navarone, Cape Fear, the 1962 edition, and its 1991 remake, How the West Was Won, The Omen.
It's The Guns of Navarone, not Navarone.
Okay.
You've seen the movie, I know, because we've spoken about it before. So,
that's true.
Yes, right.
The Omen, And the boys from Brazil. U.S. President Lyndon Johnson honored Peck with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1969 for his lifetime humanitarian effort. In 1999, the American Film Institute named Peck among greatest male stars of classic Hollywood cinema, ranking him at 12, number 12. He died in his sleep at home from bronchopneumonia at 87 in Los Angeles, California. 13th of June, 1871, Jean-Eugène Robert Houdin was a French magician. He is widely considered the father of the modern style of conjuring, such as Second Sight, The Ethereal Suspension, The Marvelous Orange Tree, Robert Houdin's portfolio, and the light and heavy chest. His reputation was so great that he was requested during the 1850s by the French government to help put down a tribal rebellion in Algeria using his skills. This is surely a feat that not many magicians can boast about. He died of pneumonia at 65 in Saint-Gervais-la-Forêt.
And he also featured in Boardwalk Empire.
Famous birthdays. So on the 11th of June, 1910, Jacques Cousteau, a French naval officer, explorer, conservationist, filmmaker, innovator, scientist, photographer, author, and researcher, who studied the sea and all forms of water, life in water. He co-developed the aqualung, pioneered marine conservation, and was a member of the Académie Française. Cousteau discovered his underwater world research in a series of books, perhaps the most successful being his first book, The Silent World, a story of undersea discovery and adventure, published in 1953. Cousteau also directed films, most notably the documentary adaptation of the book The Silent World, which won a Palme d'Or at the 1956 Cannes Film Festival. He remained the only person to win the Palme d'Or for a documentary film until Michael Moore won the award in 2004 for Fahrenheit 9/11. He was born in Saint-Audrey-de-Cubsac. I'm going to get slaughtered for this.
Anyone who speaks French, please write in and abuse the DJ in true French form for his murdering of Saint-Audrey-de-Cubsac. Sorry. Yeah.
So, could you say Jacques Cousteau is the David Attenborough of his time?
Oh, no. Well, David Attenborough was doing stuff when Cousteau was around. Cousteau was predominantly water. Like, he didn't do all the other bits and pieces. He actually had a boat that he used to sail around on and do his documentaries. So,
11th of June, 1933, Gene Wilder, American actor, screenwriter, director, producer, singer, songwriter, and author. Wilder began his career on stage and made his screen debut in an episode of the TV series Play of the Week in 1961. Although his first film was portraying a hostage in the 1967 motion picture Bonnie and Clyde, Wilder's first major role was Leopold Bloom in the 1967 film The Producers, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. This was the first film in a series of collaborations with the writer/director Mel Brooks, including 1974's Blazing Saddle and Young Frankenstein, which Wilder co-wrote, garnering the pair an Academy Award nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay. Wilder is known for his portrayal of Willy Wonka in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and for four films with Richard Pryor: Silver Streak, Stir Crazy, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and Another You. Wilder directed and wrote several of his own films, including The Woman in Red. He was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 11th of June, 1959, Hugh Laurie, English actor, director, singer, musician, comedian, and author. Laurie first gained recognition for his work as one half of the comedy duo, double act, Fry and Laurie, with his friend and comedy partner, Stephen Fry. The duo acted together in a number of projects during the 1980s and 1990s, including the sketch comedy series A Bit of Fry and Laurie and the P.G. Wodehouse adaptation Jeeves and Wooster. Laurie's other roles during the period include the period comedy series Blackadder, which Fry also acted, and the series and the film Sense and Sensibility, 101 Dalmatians, The Borrowers, and Stuart Little. Good movie, that Stuart Little movie. Laurie portrayed the title character in the US medical drama series House on Fox TV, for which he won 2 Golden Globe Awards. He was listed in the 2011 Guinness World Records as the most watched leading man on television and was one of the highest paid actors in the television drama, earning £250,000, which is $409,000.
Now, is that $409,000 American or Australian?
American. Per episode on House. He was appointed Officer of the Order of the British Empire in the 2007 New Year's Honours and Commander of the Order of the British Empire in the 2018 New Year's Honours, both for his services to drama. He was born in Bluebird Leys, Oxfordshire. 11th of June 1969, Peter Dinklage, American actor and producer. Dinklage studied acting at Bennington College, starring in a number of amateur stage productions. His film debut was in Living in Oblivion, and his breakthrough came with the comedy drama The Station. He has since appeared in movies such as Elf, Underdog, Death at a Funeral, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Prince Caspian, X-Men Days of Future Past, Pixels, and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which earned him his first Screen Actors Guild Award. In 2018, he appeared in as Eitri in the Marvel Cinematic Universe film Avengers Infinity War, amongst other films. Dinklage received universal acclaim for portraying Tyrion Lannister on the HBO television series Game of Thrones, for which he won 3 Primetime Emmys from 7 nominations. He also received a Golden Globe for the role in 2011. He was born in Morriston, New Jersey. I will say that's a pretty impressive resume for Peter. And now for our events of interest. 11th of June 1959, Postmaster General bans D.H. Lawrence's book Lady Chatterley's Lover, which was overruled by the U.S. Court of Appeals in March 1960. What was that book all about? Can someone fill me in?
A woman having an affair.
And that got banned. Why?
She was also made to ride naked through town, I think, at one point. Kind of as an homage to...
Godiva.
Yeah. It was very racy because it actually described a lot of sex scenes a bit more in detail than was common back then.
I guess. 11th of June 1976, Australian band AC/DC begin their first headline tour of Britain.
Akadaka.
Woo.
11th of June 1982, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Henry Thomas and Drew Barrymore, is released in the United States. It opened at number one with a gross of $11 million and stayed at the top of the box office for 6 weeks. It then fluctuated between the first and second positions until October, before returning to the top spot for the final time in December during a brief holiday season re-release of the film.
Remember when went to see that back in 1982 with my parents, and the cinema was more full of old people than kids.
And finally, on the 12th of June 1942, Anne Frank receives a diary for her 13th birthday, and thanks to her diary, it inspired a generation. That was a very sad story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, anything you need to add in, guys, before we wrap up?
Take care of yourself and look out for each other. Stay hydrated. Stay
hydrated, damn it. But I'd get in there before you did.
What else is there? We haven't had the complaint about the Chinese gaming / hackers.
And no penguins.
Mm-hmm.
We should have our next T-shirt idea. The penguins are coming. That's our next T-shirt idea. The penguins are coming.
My goodness, does your brain hurt? Because you just came up with a good idea.
I'm going to call it
up. You heard it here first, folks. The DJ had a good idea.
What about you, Professor? Anything to add in before we wrap up?
No, I have nothing to add.
No? Okay, so I've got nothing to add as well. But that's it for tonight. You can find us on Facebook at Nerds Amalgamated. You can find us on Twitter at n.amalgamated. Email us at, you can email us on nerds.amalgamated@gmail.com.
Send all your hate mail to him.
We will be seeing you guys soon. Oh, and you can also find us on That's Not Canon, websitethat'snotcanon.com, where we have an archive of our old episodes, and you can check out the other podcasts as well to your leisure. And you can also find cool merchandise about. So that's it for tonight. See you guys soon.
Hooray.
See you next week. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.